Nicholas wants to say something. We don't know what he wants to say, but we're going to let him say it.
Hello, lovely lady.
I hope you'll forgive the darkness. We are not comfortable in the light.
Praetor Shinzon? Praetor Shinzon? Praetor Shinzon?
Captain Picard. I'd always imagined you a little taller. Isn't that odd? Now you may scan me without subterfuge.
You are not as we imagined you.
No?
You are human.
Why have you asked us to come here? Praetor?
I've never met a human woman before.
I'm only half human.
Empathic and telepathic abilities. Ship's counselor. All this I knew, but I never knew you were so beautiful.
You seem quite familiar with our personnel.
Oh, I am. May I touch your hair?
If you have anything to say to us as representatives of the Federation, I suggest you do it now.
Yes. 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 I'm sorry, Captain.
I would be interested to know what we are talking about.
Unity! Tearing down the walls between us. I'm talking of the thing that makes us the same. We want peace. Right now, you're thinking this all sounds too good to be true. But you're also thinking that the chance for peace is too promising to ignore. Am I right?
Yes.
Then perhaps it's time to add some illumination to our discussion.
Geek tested. Nerd approved. Extra Life Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Zimmerman from Sucker Punch, creators of Sly Cooper. You're listening to Extra Life Radio.
When I was young.
Hello and welcome, oh gentle listener of the Extra Life radio show. This is Scott Johnson, your host, and here I am, another week gone by without a mini cast. I apologize for that. But welcome to the Extra Life radio show. If you're new to the show, let me tell you a few things. I'm your host. You'll meet our group panel here shortly, along with a special guest today who's come to help us out with the topics at hand. You may actually guess from the intro to the show what we might be talking about, or at least in part. But we'll get that to that in a minute. Thanks again, as always, each week to MindOnTheNet.com for helping sponsor the show. And a special thanks to you, the listeners, who make it possible to even have this piece of crap on the air. Part of the Tech Podcast Network are we at TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Make sure you go check that out. If you're into tech podcasting, that's a great place to go. I realize our show isn't entirely about tech, but there's enough in there to make it, so we show up on their list. Anyway, if you'd like to join in on the fun, and it is fun, email your written or audio comments to myextralife@gmail.com. Of course, you can always use the beef line. We like the beef line. Call us and leave us your beef. 206-350-BEEF. That's 206-350-BEEF. And I look forward to getting those each and every week. We're a little shy on them lately, so get on, keep on going on, because we need more of those. Couple of quick things before we get going. Thanks for all the great promos we're getting from people. We're going to play a couple of new ones today during the breaks. And the great stuff. Appreciate them as always. Keep those coming because we definitely enjoy playing them. Make them 30 seconds. Good production value is always appreciated. That'll be awesome. Also, we're looking for some of your ideas on the kinds of people that you'd like to see guest on the show. If you yourself are an expert at something cool that we as geeks and non-geeks alike might totally be interested in, and you think you have something to say, send me an email at myextralife@gmail.com because I would like to talk to you and maybe have you on the show. Just kind of detail a little bit about what you do, why you think it would be cool for you to be on the show, and gosh darn it, you'll come on. I think that'd be great. Also, thanks a lot to all of you readers who in the blog post that I posted about topic ideas for future shows. Thanks for all the submissions. I'm going to take all those to heart, and there's no question that we'll pull some stuff out of there to use for future shows. Okay, enough of the
Stop
talk.
Babbling.
I'm babbling. Enough of my talk because I've talked too much.
It's a drunken rambling.
It feels like it, and I don't drink, which is funny.
He admits it.
Yeah.
He admits that he talks too much.
Let's announce who's here. We have with us in the room, quickly, Obsidian, Brian, Andrew, the usuals. from all their respective hell holes that they live in. Brian and Andrew are down south, so they're probably getting a little rain, a little more than they're used to getting right now. And but we have a special guest with us. His name is Rico. He hails from, Michigan? No.
Yes, Michigan.
Is it Michigan?
Yes.
Oh, see, look at me, dude. I got a good memory. Who's typing? Someone's typing
we're
like crazy.
We're using chat over here.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Your Mac won't join us, though.
That's true. Rico, Wood, what are you talking about? What chat are you using?
Well, I tried to invite you to the Skype chat.
You don't have the newest version of Skype
installed. You don't have the newest version.
So you can't conference chat.
Scott, it's because of your heinous Mac ways. You can't join the CyberSex.
Yeah. Oh, that what it is. Well, then leave me out. I don't want to be in there. I hereby say that I will never update Skype if that's what it is. I want
there
none of that. Anyway, Rico, welcome to the show. Now, the reason people may wonder why we have Rico on the show. You've never heard of him before.
I'm wondering, but...
Yeah. He might be wondering himself. But I got this wild hair today. Is it today or yesterday? I don't know. It all blend. What was that?
Is Scott saying he's had a bad hair day? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I find that offensive.
Oh, okay. Well.
Horribly.
I find that offensive.
But, yeah, and you always do. You always find things offensive. But Rico struck me as a very astute aficionado of science fiction. And today's show is all about science fiction. I know that he's
got my pocket protector in.
That's right. He's a longtime Star Trek fan. Has a lot to say on the subject. And so that is why he is on the show. Now, before we get started in this whole thing and read a few emails and get started on this whole sci-fi thing, I wanted to mention something I'm working on. I'm doing a kind of mural drawing of a bunch of superheroes in a row. Now, before you get all excited about them being cool superheroes, what I'm drawing is fat, out of shape, kind of what you're used to on Extra Life superheroes. So Batman with a huge belly, Superman looking totally out of shape. I think I'll put Hellboy in there. But I want you listeners to send in your suggestions to the email I keep repeating, myextralife@gmail.com. Of what other heroes I should include. I've got room for three or four
Superman.
More. Who?
Superman.
I already said Superman. Where you been?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was away.
That's all right.
You got to include blue and red Superman, you know, those. When he divided, you know, those.
Yeah, when they had like five Supermen all trying to take his place after he died or whatever. Is that the guy? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Spider Clone.
Oh yeah, the spot.
You gotta have Spider-Man in there. I mean, Spider-Man is one of my favorites, at least.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
He spins a web.
Just like. Now, what's the next line? I've never known it. He spins
like
a web.
Spins a web, climbs a wall.
No. It's something else.
Spins a web any size.
Oh, yeah, any size.
Just
like flies. Look out. Wow. There goes the Spider-Man. Okay. I never knew what that any size thing was, and so I'd always skip over it. It's like the national anthem, or the national, or what am I trying to say? The Pledge of Allegiance. And by the way, when I was a kid, I thought it was "And to the Republic for Richard Stans," and I didn't know who Richard Stans was.
He's a famous guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He invented cannons and stuff.
Yeah, Richard Stans. Let's all bow our heads.
He wrote the Spider-Man theme, actually.
It would fit. But anyway, so that's kind of what we're going to do. Let's rip into these emails because I want to give lots of time today to the science fiction topic at hand. Got a couple of these. Scott just wanted to drop a line regarding the news topics for the show. Let's see. First off, I enjoyed last week's show, even kind of like the fumbling with Dutch names a little. I guess this is one of our Dutch listeners. He goes on to give a few interesting ideas, but he wants us to talk a little bit about how we feel about video games based on franchises, based on movies like Fantastic Four, Catwoman, Batman Begins, so on and so forth. Maybe talk a little bit more about video games that actually make it into movies like Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, Alone in the Dark, the upcoming Doom movie, and so on. So that's a decent topic, don't you guys think?
Well, you know, making it is such a concept.
Yeah. Is it?
Resident Evil came out. As far as making it, well, I don't know.
Well, the first Resident Evil was okay. The second one, I don't know what what the hell they were thinking.
Yeah, it was pretty poopy. What do you think about the third one? Probably, I don't know how they can. Maybe it'll improve on the last one.
I mean, I'll go see it.
Well,
just to
my
see
question
it.
Is Mila in it?
Mila Jovovich?
There's no posted anything yet. Supposedly, she signed a contract to do three movies.
Yeah. But she said,
if
she said,
Mila is in it, I'm there.
She says she'll only be in the third one if she can wear that bandage thing she wore in Fifth Element. Remember that?
She,
ooh, baby.
I'm there.
She also did mention that she will only do the third movie if O is definitely going to go see it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. There's also he has some other ideas about DC trivia and some other stuff, but we'll see how that goes. That's from Sebastian Van Dijk or whatever his name was. This comes from Josh.
Oh, like,
what? Who? When?
James Vander.
Oh, you always know these names. I'm retarded.
Dawson.
Oh. Jim Brown.
He doesn't have Katie Holmes anymore, though.
No. Dawson's Creek? Oh, James Whack Vanderbeek. Job. I just realized who you guys are talking about.
Whack job Tom Cruise does.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It says, hi, Scott. I'm writing this.
Yeah, good old Scientologist.
Wait, not Josh. Peter Gozinia. Oh, that's not his name. Peter goes in you. Dude, I totally fell for it.
Sucker.
I totally fell for Peter goes in you. All right, this guy's name.
I think that letter was from Bart Simpson, actually.
Yeah, dude. I feel like Mo. It's from Josh Smith. I'm writing the... I gave his whole name because I'm getting him back for saying his name was Peter Gozinia and getting me to say it. He says, I'm writing this off my sister's email account since my hot... Oh, his sister's name is Josh? I don't know. My account was the leader. My name is Peter Gozinia. Oh, dude, this is Master Lodo, so I'm not reading his email.
No.
That's what I'm not reading.
You got you, though, man. You fell for it.
Oh, I never lived that one down. Okay, this comes from Fraser. Fraser is actually how you pronounce it. I found out he lives in Britain. Says, I recently went to my local game store 12 miles away. It was asked if I wanted to pre-order the Xbox 360. When I asked which package I would be pre-ordering, the puzzled teen gave me a confused look and said, the Xbox 360. So I was wondering... He says, I was wondering
sounds
if all
like
the people
game
who...
store I go to.
Exactly. He says, I was wondering if all the people who pre-ordered their 360s before Microsoft's price list were released knew which type they'd be reserving, or will it just come to be whatever's served first? What do you guys think about that?
Real good question.
I got a funny feeling that the people that pre-purchased it before they came out with the different core packages are going to get the basic core, and that's it.
Absolutely.
I bet you there's going to be a ton of ticked off people.
Yeah. What are you guys going to get? Is anyone else planning on getting this besides me? I can tell you right now I'm getting the $399 one, but that's just because I'm a freak. Is anybody else planning on even buying a console?
Right away. I wanted to, but I don't think I'm going to have the funds right away.
I'll buy Revolution the day it hits the shelves.
Well, I probably will too, which is sad. And you don't get these down there, Obsidian. Is that right?
He's crying.
Yeah.
You need electricity for those, Scott.
On. Dude, let's move on. Dude, you guys are getting the Sega CD this year. Finally,
I can mail a few of those.
Finally, your Genesis investment will pay off. It'll be great.
After the first of the year, O's going to be like, "Hey, man, I bought me a console. What you buy? Well, it just came out over here. It's really cool. It's called the Dreamcast."
No, they're way behind that, dude. They're still in the 16-bit. But enjoy Death Trap. That's a great game. Okay, moving on. That's from Fraser. Thanks a lot, Fraser. We get this from Ewan Finlayson. First, I'd like to say, Scott, that I've been a big fan of your site and podcast for quite a while. Also support your idea of having a book. Oh, okay. Blah, 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 blah. He wants to talk about my comments about how I enjoyed the Nemesis movie. He says he also enjoyed. The reason
Star
why
Trek.
Star Trek. I believe why the movie was not popular because at some points it was perhaps overdone. For example, when they were collecting Data's brother instead of using the transporters or even flying there, they used some weird buggy. Well, I actually have an answer to the whole transporter thing. There was an ion storm, and Geordi said, don't take the transporters or else you're going to break up into bits.
It's always the dreaded ion storm.
Yep.
Damn.
Exactly.
Space at the speed of light, but we can't teleport through the friggin' atmosphere.
Yeah. A little sandy blow in down there, so we better use that doom buggy.
Yep. Nothing's as bad as, what was the planet Kamazon? See if you guys remember.
Oh, Tau Ceti 6.
Yeah, was that it? Rico, confirm.
Actually, They thought they were on Tau Ceti 6, I believe.
Wasn't it Tau Ceti 6,
I believe, had...
blown up. That's right. They were actually on Tau Ceti 5. Yeah.
I thought it was Ceti Alpha 6.
That when they don't really notice that when they pull up in the starship that a planet's kind of disappeared on them. Hey, last time we here, there was a lot more planets, weren't there? Look on the internet there. Google Tau Ceti.
Yeah, but dude, they had the dumb Russian.
They're down on a planet here, so maybe we better start counting over again. Okay, yeah. 1, 2. All right, that's 5 now. Okay.
They had the dumb Russian though. That's the problem. They had the dumb Russian. He doesn't know jack.
Did you notice that?
He calls everything a wessel.
All of Khan's minions and like thugs, they all wore that rich Corinthian leather.
Dude, let me tell you something about those guys. This is what I loved about all of his like workers and stuff, or all his little minions. They all look like extras from that Staying Alive sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
They did. Now that you mention that.
I think they got
some of the costumes maybe from there.
They might have. But yeah, I believe...
Still is the best of the Trek.
I agree. We're going to talk more about that too. But I'm pretty sure it's Ceti Alpha 6 and Ceti Alpha 5 is the name of the planet. I could be wrong.
It is.
All right, so we got... let's see. Hey, Extra Life, I just want to thank you for the podcast every week. What would I do without them? Especially today, I have an examination of my right
probably
eye.
Just listen to other podcasts. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, there are other ideas, but he says he has an operation on his left eye, right eye. Inflammation. Sorry,
the doc knows which one.
Yeah, he says what better thing to do than to listen to your podcast, like your recent 41, which I love. I'm catching up on old podcasts. All I did the whole day was listen to your podcast. All right, then this is sort of getting long. So thanks, Scott, Andrew, Obsidian, and the other guys for the podcast, and keep up the great work. Go Extra Life from Jeff Liu. He says, and this is just in case we don't have any other Dean Cain references. He says, also, I'd like to say something about Dean Cain, but I have nothing to say, but it's awesome how you guys squeeze him into the podcast. That might be.
Oh, wait, I got the Dean Cain info for this week.
Oh, well, hold it. Don't do it yet.
Yeah. Just remind me, you guys, because if not, I'll forget.
Okay, it's a good one, it sounds like.
At the end, because people wait for that, I think. So.
No, that's cool.
That's how we lead them on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Blah 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 blah. We're not reading this one. We got another one from Jose Mentos, who says, he says, I don't know what suave means, but in my language, it means soft, like in fluffy. That's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway,
true.
It's kind of cool.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's quite true.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me adjust my feather pillow.
And we got one more. This is it. From Jan. Hey, Scott. Hey, guys. Reading the latest issue of The Escapist crossed my mind. It didn't actually... What am I saying? Reading the latest issue of The Escapist, it crossed my mind that I didn't ever actually play Marathon. As a hardcore Mac user, you probably know all about it. Is where all the history about Bungie, blah, blah, blah. Being a good sport, I am truly... What the hell? My printer lost the rest of his mail.
So it's the printer's fault.
I'm serious.
You don't have a computer that you can read your email on?
I do it all on paper for the people. I do it for the people.
Oh, you know those Macs. You know I never really trusted those Macs.
Dude.
And I hear a tree scream every time it crumbles over a piece of paper.
The trees are like, that's my son.
Oh, that's bad. All right, let's get on to this whole sci-fi topic. I want to start with the current state of Star Trek. Now, let me begin this by saying I made a post in the news area about seeing I saw Nemesis over the weekend. It's a movie I own and I watch from time to time. And every time I watch it, I'm constantly surprised about the bad rap that it gets. Now, here's my feeling as to why. It is simply, strictly an issue of timing. And there's two phases to this whole timing problem. Nemesis comes out a week before Fellowship of the Ring, which is brilliant on Paramount's part to release their movie a week before a Lord of the Rings movie. That's one thing that really hurt it. Secondly, Star Trek goes through these patterns of really hot and then really not, and then really hot again and then really not again, and we're in a really not again phase, generally, as far as the general public goes.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Star Trek's just losing its steam? I don't see that.
Yeah, a little. Just a little. And there's a lot of reasons why this time the not hot is a little exacerbated by some bad moves on both Paramount's part and other people that are in charge of the whole intellectual property of Star Trek. But all of that said, of the movies, besides Wrath of Khan, which is my favorite, Nemesis is easily a second place for me. Rico, your take on the current state of Star Trek and why you think people don't like that movie. And I don't even know if you do. I haven't asked you before, and maybe you don't. If you do, great. If you don't, I'd love to hear why, because I just don't get it. I just
if
think
you
it's
don't,
great.
Bye. We'll see you. So thanks for being with us.
Well, I was there on
opening. What am I saying? I haven't
day,
even
so
seen
it's
Star
kind
Trek.
Of a, kind of a requirement. But no, I enjoyed it. I found I thought they did a good job. I thought the cast was pretty much into the movie, but for me at least, it was just a little too reminiscent of Wrath of Khan. I enjoyed it, and I thought they did a good job. It wasn't a bad movie, but I think unless you are fairly, you know, into Star Trek in general, I thought that they were kind of at that point going to lose a lot of the general public. I thought a couple of their other films they had done a better job of making them. Not that it's always important to make them for the general public, but you know, I kind of thought that one was just okay. Here's another enemy out there. We're gonna have some starship battles. You know, we're out finding pieces of data everywhere. You know, it was good, but I think they could have done better. To me, the at least with the next gen cast, I really liked First Contact.
Yeah, I enjoyed First Contact.
Yeah,
the only downside, the only
I
downside
really
I had
got a good story there.
Yeah, the only downside with First Contact, in my opinion, was. I don't like how the Borg got softened up. I don't like how... Well, what made the Borg cool was that they were impenetrable. They were unstoppable.
True.
They were relentless. They were evil to the core.
They came from V'ger.
They came from V'ger. Dude, that, let's try to forget the motion picture. That thing sucked. Ugh. What a flaming piece of dog crap that movie
I have
was.
An actual interesting thing about the motion picture that I didn't know about that I just found out about.
What's that?
Oh, I was... waiting till Rico finished, but just real quick, Star Trek the Motion Picture wasn't even supposed to be a movie in theaters. It was the pilot episode of the new Star Trek TV show. And the TV show didn't get picked up after they preliminarily did the pilot, so the studio decided to add some extra effects, add extra scenes, and release it as a movie. That's why they tagged on the motion picture underneath it. Originally, that movie was a 2-hour pilot on television.
Really?
Well, that's pretty much accurate. They actually was the they had created a new cast with actually without Spock and a new Vulcan and written scripts Gene Roddenberry had, and that first script for the new Star Trek series In Thy Image was what it was called. And that was what they turned into the motion picture.
Oh, be dang. I had no idea. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I actually have a book around here that shows they had even...
Nerd.
They have photos. Yeah, exactly. Excuse me while I beam you up.
Hey, listen, I've got that book that shows all like the technology. Like I've got a detailed schematic of how teleporters work and stuff.
Nerd.
It's totally cool, man. I totally get into that stuff. Rico's a man after my own taste. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and so the idea that movies might stop scares me, but have you guys heard the latest rumor I've heard?
Oh god.
Is there's a new Star Trek movie in the works? And it's being scripted, at least screenplayed, by the guy, and I can't remember his name, I wrote it down somewhere, the guy that wrote the screenplay for Band of Brothers, which doesn't necessarily guarantee success, but what that guy's really good at is this whole team-based storytelling and being able to tell multiple stories at once, which is something I think the Star Trek films have not been very good at. They've never been able to. I can't really get into Geordi's head because he only has 5 minutes on screen. But if you think, but if you think about something like a 2-hour piece of Band of Brothers, you get like 5, 6, 7, 8 stories, pretty well told and almost in complete form, and you still get to follow whatever the main narrative is. So anyway, if this is true, then I'm excited about it. I think it could be cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The only thing that worries me are two people. Gene Roddenberry's wife and Rick Berman, who've run Star Trek into the ground ever since Gene passed away.
Brian, you got any opinions on that? You think Star Trek's doomed? Are we done? Is it should it be sealed up and put in the ground forever?
I think we need a break. I think we need a break.
I agree.
I really do. I think it's, you know, 10 years, come back, do some more.
Yeah, like I said, I think we're
on a downswing. I just think for a while there that it was just like, you know, it was just, you know, Star Trek everything. Let's put them out in the middle of nowhere with no equipment. Let's put them somewhere where they've got lots of equipment. You know, it's just like, you know, let's go across the universe.
What you say there, Brian, with I take it the no equipment, that's the Voyager show. Yeah. And, you know, Voyager, I have to admit, I like the first...
Let's try a black captain. Let's try a woman captain.
I like the first couple episodes of first couple seasons of Next Generation. But I have to admit, I don't know if you feel this way, Brian, but I think they had so much potential that they flushed down the toilet with Voyager.
Yeah.
Because they're out in the middle of nowhere. They could make up all kinds of new stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did nothing.
I was very disappointed in that series. Yeah, I agree.
Rico, what's your take on Voyager? Do you like it, or what do you think about that series?
Well, the Trek series in general, I've enjoyed, you know, less each time. Although I'm one of the few probably Enterprise fans maybe around.
Well, I love Enterprise.
As far as Voyager, yeah, I believe they completely wasted a lot of potential. The biggest trouble I had with that show was not so much at all the cast, the crew. I was okay with that, but just the storylines. They're on the ship all the time. Did they explore strange new worlds?
Nope.
Nope. They explore the galley or whatever.
Well, let me tell you, dude.
I found oranges.
Captain Janeway. Captain Janeway explored all sorts of new hairdos, and that's part of my problem with the series. Is I thought she sucked as a captain. I never could get into her. She was too...
Yeah, there's a lot of people that had that opinion.
Yeah, I thought she stunk. And I found out somebody had said that what's her name, the Million Dollar Woman, Lindsay Wagner, was originally going to be cast in that role. I think she would have been great.
Actually, they did film with one other actress at the beginning. Genevieve Bujold is her name.
Yeah, she's, French lady.
She was in that movie Coma from years
ago.
I remember her.
I remember hearing about
that as
well.
If you buy the first season DVDs, there are some initial scenes. She basically filmed for like 2 days and then just quit. Walked off the set, said, no, I don't want to do this. I am leaving.
She didn't like the Chinese guy and she was out.
Yeah, so she just, there's a few scenes with her. And I guess the little bits I've heard over the years is that no one really, you know, went to the door to try to stop her. So,
I'll be dang. Well,
because she's French.
Now we know why Obsidian is being so quiet.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe
do the listeners know?
The reason he's being so quiet is because he told me the other day he has never seen a Star Trek movie. Yeah.
He is a Star Trek virgin.
Yeah. Not only have I never seen a Star Trek movie, I have never seen a Star Trek episode.
Oh my God.
Is that possible, even?
I didn't think that was possible.
Or
a commercial?
Wow, dude.
They're on
nothing.
All the
I have
time,
never
everywhere.
Seen
Have you seen the
anything?
Font?
I was in Germany like 2 months ago on a business trip. I get to a hotel in Germany. I flip on the TV. What is
David
on?
Hasselhoff.
Star Trek.
Isn't it over there in Germany? Isn't it called
Next Generation in
Das Trakens or something?
Yeah, it's whatever. But I mean, it's
Das Trakens.
It's impossible to escape. There's so many episodes, and Obsidian's never seen one.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Well,
by that.
I've never seen anything of Star Trek. I'll give you in like 1 minute or less everything I know about Star Trek.
Go for it.
William Shatner played some character which I assume was named Captain Kirk or something. I don't know. I once saw an image of him in tight pants, no shirt, standing in a puddle.
Oh, that's scary.
Standing in a puddle? What the crap are you talking about?
Yeah, he had a gun in his hand. He had a gun in his hand, no shirt, tight pants, and he was standing in a puddle. It was a still image from a Star Trek movie or episode. I don't know what. I don't care.
keep going. What else do you know?
There's some guy called Spock which has stupid hair.
Oh, man,
there's
you're
these guys
me.
Called Klingons which basically have the face of a scrotum.
Where's the bleep?
Oh man, the face of a scrotum. That rules.
Space scrotums.
Yeah.
From the planet Scrotar.
In some movie, William Shatner yells with his eyes practically popping out, "Con."
Okay.
No, you gotta say it right now.
You know what? He's pretty much got the lay of the land.
Con!
He's pretty much got the lay of the land here.
That's all you really need to know about Star Trek.
Yeah.
But really,
there's some movie from my childhood, which I recall seeing a scene on television that had a blue whale in it.
Okay.
Oh, that's
Voyage
that,
Home.
I know which one
probably
he's
Voyage
about,
Home.
Yeah.
Star
Voyage
Trek
Home.
4. Okay. Keep going.
You've almost covered them all there.
The Enterprise is like a plate with basically two egg rolls on the side.
It was created over lunch one day.
Like, okay. Here's something that is actually interesting for me. I grew up as a kid. I mean, I know what Star Trek is. I've just never seen it, but I grew up as a kid thinking that there was only one Enterprise. And as an adult, I come to discover that there's like a whole bunch of Enterprises. So what's so special about the Enterprise? I have no idea.
Well, there's never more than one at once. It's not like there's 20 at a time.
Yeah. Well, except when they're busted with time.
Oh, yeah, that one time.
I think I'm under the impression that the original plot around it was that they were sort of like lost in space. And nobody ever thought to blame the captain for it. I don't know.
Dude, okay, the only thing you're missing from your synopsis of Star Trek is this one crucial element that Spock had a goatee in one episode, which is really important.
Yeah, that was evil Spock.
Yeah, if he'd have had that.
Don't ever wear a red shirt. That's the other thing.
That suddenly explains this South Park episode.
And you were.
Yeah, where there's all these episode. Evil duplicates, and each one has a goatee.
So wait a minute, you're telling me you learned everything you learned about Star Trek, or at least about red shirts, you learned on a cartoon. Is that? Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. On South Park, by the way. And there's another two things I know about Star Trek. One, hyperdrive never works.
Okay. It's actually warp drive, but keep
broken.
Going.
Nobody blames... No, just like nobody blames the captain for being lost in space, nobody blames the mechanic. I mean, like, let's go to hyperdrive. It doesn't work. Like, God damn it, man, do your job.
Let's go to hyperdrive, he says. That's very nice.
The only thing that Obsidian forgot is you have never seen a wrestling match until you've seen Kirk and a guy in a rubber lizard suit battle it out in the desert.
Yeah, he was like a sleestack.
One last thing I know.
He was a sleestack, dude.
One last thing I know. Some idiot somewhere dared to compare the Death Star with some battle station in Star Trek, which basically has the form of a cube.
It's the Borg, dude. Oh, I'm gonna cry here in a minute. How little he knows about Star Trek.
And hold on. That's all I know. Oh no, wait. One last thing. A teacher with excellent boobs from Boston Public was a robot in Star Trek.
Oh, okay. There you go. A teacher with excellent. That's a great way to end this segment. Before I go, I want to tell a quick joke. The joke is this. So you've heard it before, I'm sure. Scotty comes into the ship. And he needs to use the bathroom, goes into the bathroom, looks in the toilet. What does he see? Any guesses?
Klingons?
No. The captain's log. No, the captain's log.
Captain's log.
All right. With that, we are going to end this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk more about science fiction, maybe a little bit more about Trek, but it's also some other cool stuff that deal with books and some movies and TV and some things we're looking forward to. You are listening to Extra Life Radio. We'll be right back.
It's the world of baseball from the outside looking in. Outsider Radio.
What is really the thing we all want to know? What's the burning question? Kenny, are you going to play in the All-Star? Who gives a flying crap about the All-Star game and whether he's going to pitch in it? All these people who are complaining about the All-Star game, these are the same exact people who always talk about how ridiculous and meaningless it is and how stupid it was that they made it count. And then, oh, they say this time it counts. It doesn't really count. None of the players care. It's just an exhibition. And then they come around, well, is he going to play in the All-Star game? This is a meaningful thing. This is a showcase of Major League Baseball's top players. Give me a freaking break.
Sweet.
How's it going, everybody? Brandon Rossich here, host of Outsider Radio and huge baseball fan, inviting you to join the conversation with me and the gang as we talk baseball all year long on 360thepitch.com.
Baseball talk and half-assed arguments. It's Outsider Radio on 360 The Pitch.
And we are back. Today's show is all about science fiction. We've been talking a little bit about Star Trek. Oh, wait. That was all our impressions of Skype lag. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We're talking a little bit about Star Trek. I heard somebody during the break mentioning Galaxy Quest. I'm here to say that I think that is probably one of the finest satires of science fiction in the history of the world.
Yes, yes, it is.
Excellent movie.
I heard rumors at one time. It actually did so well in theaters. There was rumors of them doing the second one.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Did you guys ever check out the DVD? They have an alternate language track with those that sounds like those dudes.
We need our help.
Yeah.
God. That'll be funny.
You need to do it, dude. You need to rent it. It's a riot. It's totally funny. And they do it through the whole show, through everybody's dialogue.
Oh, man.
I mean, even the people, even the guys that do it in the show, they're redubbed with somebody else doing it. It's too cool.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I love that show. And part of the reason I like it so much is it's just such a cool throwback to Trek. I mean, I'm just such a diehard Trek fan. Now, let's talk about the next thing on our list, which is good science fiction novels, good science fiction literature in general. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not a huge reader of science fiction books. I wish I read more.
TV Guide.
TV Guide's as good as it gets. the listings for, I have a lot of really great favorite science fiction on TV right now, but I'm not a big fan of books. And it's not that I'm not a big fan. I just don't know what's good out there. So I'm counting on you guys. Let's start with Rico. Do you have any recommendations of stuff to read that's good? I mean, even Star Trek novels are okay with me at this point.
Harry Potter.
Sweet. I do read those.
Hey, man, don't mess with the Potter.
There's not a lot of science in them is the problem.
I think the last thing that I read was a book called... The Boy That Lived Forever. I think Frederick Pohl wrote it. I don't know if you remember, but like probably 30 years ago, there was a book called Gateway that was pretty popular.
Gateway.
They even made a game out of that too at one point.
Gateway. Yeah, I think they did. I think it might have been like
a computer,
text based or something. But,
it was text with like pictures, the old style adventure game.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting book. They a lot of things involving. Time distortion, when you're very near deep gravitational wells and time gets distorted there, basically, a couple of years go by for you, but when you come out of that area, it's like 100 years later. But I personally have read a lot science fiction-wise lately.
Hmm. Read anything, Brian? You read any science fiction?
Mostly I read like Michael Crichton books. Christian, however you say a stupid name, like Sphere and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
did you
like
read
that? I've read a couple of Star Wars books. Oh, go ahead. What's that?
Oh, did you? I was going to say you said Crichton. Did you read Prey?
No, I haven't actually read that one yet. That's on my list of stuff.
Prey game based on that book?
No.
No, it's not. Okay.
No. There is supposed to be a Prey movie based on the Michael Crichton book, though.
Okay, I haven't heard of that.
I have a few that are really mess with your head.
Sweet. I'm good with that. Obsidian, you read any science fiction? It's all fantasy for you, isn't it?
Well, no. Actually, the last book I read, reread, and one of my favorite books of all time, if not my favorite book of all time, is Dune. The original Dune.
Oh, yeah.
Not the ones by Brian Herbert, but, the original six books by Frank Herbert. To me, Dune is not only to me, Dune is considered to be the pinnacle of science fiction.
It's pinnacle.
It's pineapple.
Okay,
that too.
It's
pineapple.
Yeah, pineapple. That's
I think we're the
of reading.
We're the ones that are saying it wrong. I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason why I never correct anyone.
Yeah, that's true. So I agree with you actually on the whole Dune thing. What did you think of it?
I got another one, but after Dune. Dune is very important.
What's your other one? What do you like?
Well, we were talking about Dune.
Oh, well, let's talk more about Dune then.
Finish up.
It's the best Sting movie ever made. What else about Dune?
That's all you can say about Dune?
Well, let me tell you something.
The best Sting movie? Well, Dune is like the trip to read, because you read Dune, and it's not just about, the whole science fiction, space travel, adventure thing. Dune is, and I know this sounds like I'm stoned, but Dune is profound stuff, man.
Well,
it did sound like you were stoned.
I actually agree with O, because the first time I read the first Dune book, it didn't feel so much as a science fiction book as like I was reading an actual real history book.
Yeah.
When you read it. It's got that feeling.
It has a lot of depth.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed those. Yeah. The sci-fi channel.
Oh, that's a non-hippie way to say it.
Yeah, very non-hippie. What were you going to say about they have something on sci-fi? Oh, they have that new
miniseries. Yeah, they did a miniseries with basically the first book and Children of Dune, which I thought they did a pretty good job on that.
So did I.
It was well done.
Yeah, we're going to, later in the show, I want to talk more about what Sci-Fi Channel is doing these days. I'm actually, I went from hating them not too long ago to really, really liking that channel here recently, and so I think there's lots we can talk about there as well. One last thing about these books. I have a question. Or not a question, but more of a statement. Chris, who is sometimes on the show as a sometimes regular guest, he wanted us to mention a couple of titles for you out there that are interested. He likes the classic stuff, like Clark and Asimov and others.
Yep.
He's got one called
definitely.
Rendezvous with Rama.
Yeah, there's four. I think
that's excellent.
Awesome. Yeah, those are awesome. Actually, I have all of them.
He says the caves of steel would be good starting points. He says those are great places to begin. Other novels not to miss would be Red Mars from Kimberly Stanley Robinson, Ender's Game from Orson Scott Card,
yep,
who by the way is a native here where I live, and Dorsey from Gordon Dixon. Haven't heard of that.
Three to Dorsey, yeah.
There you go. Is it a series?
Yeah, there was a trilogy that he wrote originally, and I'm trying to remember the name of one of the books. I think they turned one of those into a movie. It'll come to me. I'm going to have to do a little searching here.
That's all right. We'll get to it with the movie because we're going to talk about movies too. What were you going to say, Andrew?
Oh, basically, like the ones that Chris mentioned, those are ones that I also had listed. The Hitchhiker's Guide series.
Oh, yeah, duh. Okay, so I have read a lot of science fiction lately. I read all five of those books. But anyway, keep going.
Those, I like the books by Neal Stephenson, like Snow Crash and stuff.
Yeah.
Tad Williams did a great series called Otherland, which is about a group of people trapped inside an MMO, basically.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Which is really good. And the one I'm reading now, which will like twist your head, but I can't stop reading it. It's really good. It's called Light by M. John Harrison.
Huh.
And it's about this guy who's he's a scientist, but he's a serial killer. And he's working on some sort of quantum. Him and his partner are trying to build a quantum computer. Well, what they created in their present time workings creates a future alternate world that goes on at the same time as you're reading it. It jumps from like the year 30,000 something all the way back to present because it's happening at the same time.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well,
I picked it up on a whim.
Yeah.
Because Neil Gaiman recommended it. He said it was like one of the best science fiction books he's read in for like ever.
Well, I'll read anything Gaiman likes. He's awesome.
And I bought it and started reading it, and I don't understand. There's so many great books that would make great films or miniseries on TV, and no one touches half of them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one that was recommended to me today, and I've not read them, but the Thrawn series of Star Wars books came out early 80s, maybe mid-80s. And it's the something of Thrawn, or I can't remember. I don't know if any of you guys have read those, but these are coming highly recommended. Timothy Zahn, yeah.
That was the drought of Star Wars, basically what really got it going again, because they did so well. They were like bestsellers. They're excellent.
Yeah.
Wasn't the first one he did that supposedly took place after Return of the Jedi called Splinter in the Mind's Eye or something like that?
Well, I thought the Thrawn series was the series that was the first one that Lucas said, okay, yeah, you can do this about my regular film characters, and you can carry them on past Jedi. I thought it was those books, but I can't. Maybe it was something different.
Basically, I believe the first one's called Heir to the Empire.
Yeah,
and, it's basically Luke trying to reform the Jedi and them trying to put the Republic back together again after the Empire's been.
Yeah, and this Thrawn character, from what I understand, is a Thrawn guy who's the evil dude, is supposed to be just totally inspired, like just one of the coolest bad guys in the history of the Star Wars lore, and so I'm pretty anxious to pick those up. They're obviously pretty old, and I should have read them a long time ago. So you've read those, Rico, is that right?
Yeah, I've read all three of those, and I think he's done at least one other since that time. I'm trying to remember the name, but Yeah, those are really good. Definitely worth reading if you're a Star Wars
fan. Yeah, those and the Stagpole books I hear are great. Well, when we come back, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about sci-fi and movies and TV and stuff we're looking forward to this year, as well as some cool stuff that's on TV now. Again, this is Extra Life Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lenny Treetop. And basically, I appear occasionally on Comedy Forecast, a comedy podcast in 4 minutes or less. Basically, they sometimes feature my show, The Basically Podcast Show, which is basically awesome. Here's a clip from a recent Skype interview I did.
So, what was the first lava lamp you ever owned? Yeah, I know. But only if you add onions.
Well, I think I'm getting the hang of it. So basically, if you're looking for comedy that's fast and funny, then basically, you need to check out Comedy Forecast. And basically, you can find that at comedyforecast.com, and that's with the number 4 in it. So, basically, that's the promo. Bye-bye.
And we are back. Welcome back to the show. Just got to write something down before I forget. Okay, we've been talking sci-fi. That's what this show is about. It's all about science fiction. Not science fact, science fiction. We could have an entire show devoted to this idea of cool technology and great stuff that's around today that really had its origins or its inspiration in science fiction. Maybe it's just a natural evolution of things to see some of those things come out. But, man, I remember the first cell phone I saw and I thought, holy cow, dude, beam me up, Scotty. There's the freaking communicator right there.
Nerd.
So anyway, but we could go on and on about that. That's a show of its own, in my opinion. And that might be the most boring show we'd ever put out and may just put the whole show out of business. So maybe I won't do it. But anyway, hey, we're back to science fiction. Let's talk about movies and stuff that is coming up. Serenity is really the thing on everybody's mind when it comes to science fiction movies between now and the end of the year. I really can't think of any other high profile stuff. Am I missing? Andrew, you're the king of this. What am I missing?
Not really. I mean, there's a few other science fiction movies coming out that I'm interested in. Like, I want to see the Aeon, Philifon, Flux, whatever they want to call it.
Yeah. You mean Aeon. The Charlize Theron?
As far as I know, it's Aeon.
I want to see that. But Serenity looks like it's going to be, like, the big sci-fi blockbuster.
Yeah, it does. I hope it lives up to all this hype because people are pretty excited about it.
Well, the show is – I never watched it when it was on. And I went out and bought the DVD box set, and I was floored. I was like, I felt shamed that I didn't watch it when it was on.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely in the same boat on that. I think I caught one episode when it was on the air. Said, well, it's interesting. And then the next thing I knew, turned around and it was gone. And I bought the DVDs maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and it's just got completely hooked on it.
Yeah.
Hooked a few other people on it, and really looking forward to the movie at the end of September.
Well, I have yet to see all the episodes. I need to pick that DVD collection up. I hear it's just great. But what I did see, I really enjoyed. So that'll be a good movie. Now, I know we got like that Scanner Darkly or whatever that is. It's got...
Oh, that one looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat. And is that Keanu Reeves in that, or is that just me thinking it's him?
Yeah, it is
Keanu
Reeves.
The movie's computer-drawn... using the old style, like, rotoscope.
Kind of like they did that Aha video in the 80s, right?
Yeah, kind of like that, but with computers. That one. There's
if you want to see something a little bit more recent, done in the same style. Actually, I think it's the same people. Watch an animated movie, which is very heavy, and it's very difficult to watch, but it's very nice to look at, which is called Waking Life.
I have that. On DVD.
What do you mean it's hard? What do you mean it's heavy? What do you mean?
It's not the same way. I think it's the same people.
It's a very intellectual movie. It's like a documentary, and there's an overall story of a character, but he's drifting around, and he meets up with different people, and you get to see different people's outlooks on life and their world and stuff like that. But it is definitely worth renting. I think it's worth buying. I bought it as soon as it hit the shelves.
Huh. Well, that's pretty cool. I've never heard of it, so that may be something I should check out. Well, the Scanner Darkly, that's good. What else we have? We got that weird French thing. I can't tell if that's science fiction or what that is.
That Night Watch.
Yeah, it's more like a drug trip.
It's not French.
Isn't that Russian?
Oh, Russian.
Russian.
That's right, Russian. We've talked about it on the show before.
You got the big Doom movie. Doom with the Rock coming out.
Wait a second. Before you all erupt in laughter, I want to defend the Doom movie for just a minute. I mean, I'm not saying that the Doom movie is going to be awesome. I'm not saying that it's going to be incredible. I'm not even saying that it's going to be good. But I'm...
I thought you were defending this thing.
I just ruined my whole point, didn't I? Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm convinced.
Anyway, Scott showed us a trailer on his site. And all I want to say is that I think it's really cool that it seems that they're really sticking
to the game.
To the game.
Yeah.
You know, even if the first-person shooter angle camera it turns out to be ridiculous, I think it's cool that they're actually doing that, and I think it's cool that they're actually, you know, just trying that out and everything because, well, hey, I mean, look at all these other movies that they do based on games. Sure, you got to change sometimes the plot, you got to change the subject, that's cool, but sometimes they just go too far trying to not make the movie feel like it's a game. And in Doom, well, it seems that they just sort of said, like, hey, you know, we're making a movie about a game, so who cares if it looks like a game?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not even saying it's going to be good. I'm just saying that it's cool that they at least dared to try that.
Here's the bad.
I'm going to watch it.
Here's the downside, though. If that, I'm really afraid that first-person shooter angle thing is a trailer-only tactic. And everybody's like, oh, it's in the movie, it's in the movie.
Well,
I read
on one of the movie sites I frequent that there is a part of the film that actually stays completely in first person, like as a tribute to the game.
Okay.
But see, I also heard that halfway through the movie, The Rock dies because he drops his damn flashlight.
Shut up, dude. You just hate that. You're so full of crap.
That's where I'm going. He's like, hey, dudes, did anyone see my flat? And then he gets attacked by monsters.
No, what I heard is when he gets killed, he drops his gun because and he yells, "You smell what the Rock is cooking!"
Okay. I wanna do something cool here, okay? As I was telling the guys before the podcast, I have just recently started playing Doom. Now, very quickly, Doom is actually a little bit boring but nice to look at, so I'm just breezing by it in God mode, checking stuff out, you know, looking at the stuff that's cool to look at. And just recently, I came across one of those doors with a panel on it that has a name. And the name that it says of the person, the name it has of the person that is authorized to go through that door is Scott Johnson. And I am going to offer a pencil image, a drawing, to the first person that emails a video capture of that panel.
All right,
that's
you heard it there.
Scott does all his comics.
Here's the contest.
Email it to Scott, and Scott will tell me about it.
That's
email
right.
it to Scott at the beef thing or whatever, and I'll give a pencil image. The first person that emails that screenshot of the panel in Doom 3 that says Scott Johnson.
Dude, hold on. How long have you been with the freaking show to say send it to Scott's beef thing or whatever?
And I never pay attention
to
you.
I have a question. If someone turns in a screen capture of the door, they send it to Scott. Scott sends it to you, and you're going to draw a picture of your pencil?
No, he's going to draw a pencil drawing.
Yeah, man. A pencil drawing.
Not a drawing of a pencil.
Also, I need proof that it's not just some image you pulled off the net or anything, but that you actually played to get to that part. So what proof am I going to need? I don't know. I'm making it tough. Who cares? What proof can we have?
Yeah, send it to the beef thing. We'll work it out. But the proof is that the proof is that let's say they need to.
Oh, I know, I know. put the mouse pointer that you can normally have in that little screen, put it on one of the letters.
Yeah,
you know, put it in a specific part of the screen. Which one?
Put it on the end of the Scott Johnson, the last letter. Have your mouse, your game mouse.
Yeah.
I know people can fake this too, but it'll be harder.
I was going to say, no one could ever overlay something like that.
All right, I got Photoshop.
Okay, man, well, whatever.
Rico's already booting Photoshop up.
Send the image, okay?
Send the image of Scott Johnson.
All right, quickly, we got to rip. Oh, my gosh, we're almost out of time. I got to rip through these TV things. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do it a la carte style. I'm going to tell you the name of a series, and you guys give me your collective thumbs up, thumbs down from the panel here. Just give me a yay or nay if you think it's any good. These are going to come rapid fire. Battlestar Galactica, the new one.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Thumbs way up.
Thumbs way up. Obsidian, have you seen it down there? You're still getting the old one. Never mind.
Never seen it.
Got that little robot dog down there.
Yeah, they've got dude.
The dog's name was Daggett.
They've got Daggett. Bo Daggett. All right, so what else? Did they used to have a robot that said... Oh, no, that was Buck Rogers. Never mind. Okay, forget about that.
Man.
Beady, beady, beady. All right, back to what I was saying. So we got that show now. Stargate Atlantis.
Love it.
Yep.
Good?
I think it's better than, than SG-1.
Okay. How about Stargate SG-1 without MacGyver?
I kind of like it.
Because he's not in there anymore.
It's pretty good so far.
It's kind of got that Farscape vibe now that, what's his name's on it?
Yeah, I'm sad.
That was risky. Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, I miss the old ones, but I think they are what they were, and I think, you know.
I miss MacGyver.
I've been seeing it lately, and I like it.
Yeah, I guess it's okay. I liked it with MacGyver. He made it funny for me, so there was more humor in it. The new guy does that a little, but I don't know. Yeah. I did see Louis Gossett Jr. on there the other
where
day.
I live.
Yeah.
Did you used to watch Farscape, Scott?
Oh, I loved Farscape.
Oh yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, I love Farscape. In fact, maybe that pisses me off too because I'm watching this new thing going, that guy should be making Farscape. What's he doing here?
Exactly.
Because that show was way, way, way taken away. That was just too short.
Well, that's because the two channels, Sci-Fi and another channel, were both splitting the bill. And apparently one episode of Farscape was like some outrageous amount of money to film. So that's why it got – that one channel decided they weren't going to pay anymore, and Sci-Fi didn't want to foot the whole bill themselves, so they canceled it.
Oh, man. That sucks. All right, last show, Manimal. Just kidding.
Oh, come on.
Hey. I'll give all my four thumbs up to Manimal.
All of your four thumbs.
He's seen an episode of Star Trek, but he's seen every episode.
Yeah, dude.
Don't forget Obsidian. You got the Dean Cain. You got some Dean
Cain. Oh, hurry up. Yeah, we got like a minute. Tell me, quick.
Oh, okay. Okay, you see, well, 2 weeks ago, I saw one of the worst movies I have seen in my life, which was The Crow 4, Wicked Prayer. Which has an amazing cast, such as, you know, the teenager from Terminator 2, some guy named Furlong.
Edward Furlong.
He never grew up.
Yeah.
Because he's still just as small, only with long hair. The Crow looks absolutely, decidedly gay in that movie. And
not
some
that
amazing.
Wrong with that.
Yeah. No. I mean, if you watch it, you'll know what I mean.
All right,
nothing against that.
No, I know, I know. It, you know in I fact, mean? You're totally pro-gay. You're gay yourself. I know all about that. Keep going.
Oh. It has an amazing cast, like Tara Reid, David Boreanaz, Uncle Machete. Well, it has an amazing cast.
Dude, I love those guys.
It's a laughable movie. Now, in this movie, there is... the crow, the character of the crow is named Jimmy Cuervo, which is very creative. And his girlfriend is a Native American cross Mexican girl with blue eyes named Lily. Now, the actress is actually named Emmanuel Chiriqui. And this actress also was in another movie called... In another movie with Wesley Snipes, it was a TV movie. This TV movie was called Future Sport. And you want to know who the main character in Future Sport was?
I knew we'd get there sometime.
Wow.
It must have been Dean Cain. Am I wrong? It must have been Dean Cain. Is that or Kevin Bacon?
Of course it was Dean Cain. I mean, it's called Future Sport. Who else can play the sport of the future?
Yeah, who else can play the sport of the future? All right, we got to get out of here. That was awesome. Andrew, Obsidian, Brian, and Rico, thanks for being here this week.
No problem, man.
No problem.
It was fun as always.
It was good to have you guys on here. Next time we do anything sci-fi related, I say we have Rico back because he's got his finger on the pulse of science fiction.
Nerd.
And that'll do it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll go ahead and get out of here. I was going to do a... Well, I may still have time. Yeah, I'm going to do a little two-minute review of a B-movie somebody did at work today. I hope you enjoy that. We'll see you guys next time. Maybe a mini-cast this week. If not, for sure, the group show next Tuesday. And thanks again for being a listener. We love you guys. Have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
It is time for the procedure.
Okay. Jeremy here saw a movie this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, and the movie he saw was Ghoulies
4.
Now, I didn't know there was more than one Ghoulies. That was news to me. The question is, was it any good? Oh, you're looking it up. Is this it?
Yeah.
Okay, Ghoulies 4 came out in 1994, directed by Jim Wienerkowski.
Wernerski,
who I noticed, by the way, his latest film he's finishing now, if you click his name, is called... Scroll down some. Look how he's credited as.
Komodo versus Cobra.
Not that one. It's Bear Winch, the final chapter. Apparently there's some nudity in that movie. Yeah.
It's made for TV.
Oh, it is? For Playboy TV. Well, anyway, so what was your impression of Ghoulies 4?
As far as the Ghoulies movies go?
Yeah.
It was horrible.
But horrible in a good way?
Horrible in a good way, because it was really cheesy. They had two little midget puppets that were supposed to be ghoulies, but they could talk. they were sent by some lady in black vinyl plastic or whatever she was wearing, and yeah. She was trying to kill people so that she could bring back the dark.
It's probably PVC.
Lord or something, yeah.
Yeah.
So she was killing people and put them in a little pentagram. They'd disappear, and this guy would appear. And he would talk to her and tell her that she needed to do other stuff. They had to get the right sacrifice in order for for him to come back.
Okay, I'm following you.
So the two puppets are running around, and they're kind of sneaking around with hiding in the back of a car of a police officer guy who is a detective, but he's, you know, drinks a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, rolls with the women and stuff. And...
All right.
And so...
He's a bad egg.
Right, but they get caught up in trying, you know, not getting caught. And so they're always hiding under beds and stuff. The best part is when they would talk, their mouths wouldn't move. Just the plastic, you know, would kind of be...
Undulate?
Yeah, move around underneath their masks. And basically that was it. And in the end, the dark guy came back, but the police officer was able to... stop him, and he disappeared, and the bad lady in vinyl disappeared too, yeah, and then he
only to come again in
right,
Ghoulies
in 5,
which isn't out yet. I don't think. Is there a Ghoulies 5?
There could be.
They jump directors, don't they? They don't keep the same guy for the Ghoulies series. How do you do it?
I don't know.
2 stars.
He IMDb only gives us 2 stars. Now, all I can say after hearing Jeremy's review is screw you, Ebert. I'll take Jeremy's review any day. See, is it show it? Is that Ghouli? Oh. Yeah, by the way, that Peter Lupus or whatever his name is, he hasn't been in anything but crap.
Yeah, but he's from Utah.
Okay, Ghoulies 2, Ghoulies 3. I think there's only a
Ghoulies
4.
Ghoulies go to college?
Is it really Ghoulies go to college? Ghoulies click on that. 3. Oh, stop.
The college teacher brings the little creatures back to his campus where they proceed to terrorize the faculty and students.
It got a 3.0 out of 10. That's better than 4 did.
Let's see what its 4 says.
2 sinister beings from another dimension come to Earth but need a way home.
Ah, so maybe I was a little off.
That's all right.
Home, trying to find Jonathan Graves who can help them return to their home, but the Satan-worshipping... Dominatrix goes on a killing spree to find Jonathan as well, which will find him first.
So this movie had a Satan worshipping dominatrix?
Well, there was a pentagram, so yeah, maybe.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
Good times.
Again, screw you, Ebert. We might make this a regular segment on the show, Jeremy's Reviews, where you get to tell me about some crappy piece of junk movie you saw and why it was awesome. So it sounds like a good good viewing.
It's good time.
So how would you, if you had to rate it on a scale 1 to 10, what would you give it?
What am I ranking on how good the movie is?
No, how crappy.
How bad it was that was good.
Yeah, how bad was it that it made it good?
It was a 9.
You'd give it a 9? It sucked, wow.
But it was good.
Even better than the cop show that Brendan has on his...
Oh, Psycho Cop...
Psycho Cop 3.
3.
Better than that?
I don't know.
You have the right to remain silent forever?
Alright. You've been listening to the Extra Life Podcast. If you'd like to participate, send us an email, myextralife@gmail.com, or call the Beef Line, 206-350-BEEF. Now there's a curve in the road so sharp it'll make you bleed. We don't talk, we just punch the clock. Can't find each other in the same old gridlock. Maybe a little escape, what we need. Living your love and you work like a dog every morning. The city's a pain like the life taste stain on your drain.